I'm almost sad that I have to preach this sermon because that means I'm going to have to leave. And I've such enjoyed my stay here. My time grazing with the snacks with Carolyn and Rick, and the time I got to spend eating a nice dinner with Tim and Mevlin, and the fellowship that we've had here today to be able to have the opportunity to discuss the work and to look a little into God's Word. I've been truly blessed in my life to have the opportunity to come to a knowledge of the truth. I've been blessed in my life today as someone who's going out in the world trying to share the gospel, to have spent much of my life knowing and experiencing exactly what you should not do if you want to be a faithful Christian. And so I know from experience how to live in a state of rebellion. I know how, from experience, how to refuse to submit to authority. I know from experience how to be drawn by the things of the world and want to go do those, all of those things that are against the will of God. And so I have, from experience, the knowledge of many of the things that you should not do as a Christian. We had a lady that recently wrote Karen and I's conversion story, and she titled it The Prodigal Son. Not because I told her to title it that way, but that's what she decided was an appropriate title for my conversion. And so I want to discuss a little bit today about how I go about spreading the gospel in Africa now, and how I use my experience to help others to learn that if they want to be pleasing to God, they cannot be in charge of their lives. They need to allow God, they need to allow Christ to be in charge of their lives. Somebody asked me about this Bible earlier. After services, I'm going to leave a copy with Rick. And so if you want to get copies of it, you can contact www.starbible.com and you can buy it them through them. They're a wonderful tool. As I said earlier, if nothing else, to remind you that the mission of the church is to fulfill the Great Commission, is to seek and to save the lost. And if you use it, look at the study helps at the back and go through their plan of salvation. Throughout it, it will give you one method to be able to share the gospel with others. Lord willing, I return to West Africa in a couple of weeks. If the doors open up and I'm able to go to Guinea, and I will begin attempting to fulfill the Great Commission, because God has commanded us to go into all the world. To go into Happy, to go into Amarillo, to go into Africa, and to bring the gospel to everyone throughout the world. And so what kind of people will I come in contact in Africa that need to hear the gospel? This hasn't changed in 2,000 years. You may be surprised, but the same people that you have here in the panhandle are the same type of people that I meet in Africa, or the same type of people that they had in the first century. First, you will come in contact with people who know nothing about Jesus. Maybe they've heard the name and they affiliate him with Christmas, and that's all. But they have no idea that he is God, or he is the Son of God, or that there's a whole book written about him. You might say, oh, there's not people like that. But I find people like that. We go into the villages and some people have not even ever heard of Jesus. We see the Apostle Paul going into the city of Athens in Acts chapter 17, and he sees a sign to the unknown God, and he begins to proclaim God to them, and these people had no idea about this Jesus that Paul was talking about until he brought that knowledge to them. And some of those people are the easiest to convert because their minds have not been poisoned either for or against Jesus. And then I'll run into people that have heard about Jesus, but deny that he is who he claims to be. And those would be the type of people like those in the Islamic religion. You would come to them and they see Jesus as a great man of God. They see him as a prophet who could perform great miracles, but they deny that he is the Son of God. Or you might even find those around here, maybe those in the Jehovah Witnesses, that will say that Jesus is not the Son of God. And you find people like that in the first century. When Peter and the other apostles were preaching in Acts chapter 2, they were preaching to the Jews who had crucified Christ, but they denied that he was the Son of God. And Peter, what did he say to them? That this same man that you have crucified is both Christ and Lord. You have crucified the Messiah. And if you want salvation, then you must move towards believing that. And many of the people that you will find, especially in this area, the first two are probably going to be the minority. But most of the people you're probably going to find in this area of the world are going to be those who have heard about Jesus, those who have heard that he is the Son of God, who have heard many things about Jesus, but are like me most of my life. They don't want to submit. They don't want Jesus to be in charge of their life. They want to be in charge of their life. They want to do things their way, not the way that the Bible teaches us that we must do it. And so you find many of those type of people in Africa. You find them in the denominations. Those are those that will confess that Jesus is Lord, but won't do his will. And we have passages in the Bible like Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? Or Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. And so these are the type of people that I will come in contact with. Last month, because I've been here a little longer now, but in November, I was just walking through the city of Accra, and sometimes I just walk around and I talk to people about Christ. And you can do that anywhere in the world. You generally will not be persecuted for talking about Christ pretty much anywhere in the world, at least not the places I go. And so I'm just walking along, and this man comes up to me, and he starts talking to me about Christ. And I'm like, what do you do now? I'm supposed to be the evangelist. He's evangelizing me. And so we just start walking along. We're walking and he's teaching, and we're walking and he's teaching, and we're walking, and we ended up walking probably a mile, maybe a mile and a half, 2 miles, I don't know, 30 or 45 minutes of walking. And then finally we found a place where I saw we could sit down, and I said, well, why don't we sit down and talk more about this? And this is how you can do this here. You don't have to see evangelism as some big thing that's only for evangelists or teachers or preachers or elders. It's something that all of us can do, and it's more about just making speaking about God part of your life. It's a beautiful day. Oh, I'm having difficulties. Well, I pray you get better. Our speech can indicate our love for God and our desire to follow God, and it can move to other conversations which can lead to conversions. And I started talking to this man, and I said, well, let's see. I see everything you're saying. Let me see if I understand what you're telling me. And I said, if I'm understanding correctly, you're telling me that Jesus is God, that he came in the flesh and he dwelt with men and he claimed to be the Son of God, and that he now has authority over all of mankind. That Jesus is in charge. I said, is that what you're trying to tell me? And he said, yes, 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 that's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. And he was a pastor, evidently, at some charismatic church. And so, yes, that's exactly, Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus is in charge. And I'm saying to him, well, does Jesus demand our submission? Does he demand that we submit to him? I said, I read in Philippians chapter 2. I said, I know a little bit about the Bible. I said, let's turn over here and what it says in Philippians chapter 2. And it talks about him humbling himself even to the point of the cross. And then he goes on to say that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. I said, is that telling us that everyone in the whole world is either going to submit to Christ today or sometime in the future? We have a choice. We can do it now or we can do it later. Most of my life I didn't want to submit. Today I want to. You can choose. You can choose to submit today or not to submit today. And he agreed, yes, yes. He says that's what it says. And he's becoming a little bit skeptical now because he's found that no longer is he evangelizing, but it's kind of seeming like the guy he's evangelizing to might know a little less in the Bible. I said, well, what do you think Jesus is coming again? And he's like, yes, Jesus is coming again. What is he coming to do? I said, have you read 2 Thessalonians 1:7? Because it talks about Jesus coming. It says he's coming in flaming fire to take vengeance on those that do not know God and who have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he says, yes, Jesus is coming again. He's getting softer by this time because he had already told me that all I need to do to be saved was to pray Jesus into my heart. So he had given me the gospel, but now his gospel is becoming more complex because we're looking into the Bible. Now I don't only have to pray Jesus into my heart, but I have to completely submit to him. I have to acknowledge that he is God. I have to understand that he's coming to judge me. I said, do we have to confess him? I said, you said I had to pray him into my heart. Our heart, do we have to confess him as Lord? Oh, yes, we have to confess him as Lord, and that means he is our master. And I said, how will we be judged then? When he comes, how will we be judged? Will we be judged based upon what we feel or based upon what he has said? And I said, let's see if we can find a verse about that. And we went to John 12:48. I'm pulling these out of the air now because they taught me to do this. But John 12:48 says, he that rejects me and receives not my word has something that's going to judge them. And I'm not quoting word for word, but the words that I have spoken will judge you in the last day. I said, do you agree that is what Jesus is saying? And he said, yes. And I said, well, let's look at Mark 16:15-16. It says that he that believes and is baptized will be saved. I said, isn't Jesus saying that we must be baptized to be saved? How can we just pray Jesus into our heart? And so this is just an example. I'm not trying to tell you how to talk to people about Christ, but it's how you can just be walking with somebody and begin a conversation. And before long, you've taught them the gospel and you don't even know how you did it. It was just by accident. And sometimes they will obey just by accident because they become convicted. Yes, I must submit to Christ. Yes, Jesus is in charge. Yes, he has commanded me to obey the gospel and be buried with him in baptism. So yes, that is what I want to do so I can please God. So we agreed in our little Bible study that Jesus was in charge. But this idea of submission, this idea of Jesus being in charge of your life is not only for those who have not obeyed the gospel. This idea of submission and Jesus being in charge of your life is for all of us who have already obeyed the gospel. So we need to ask the question to ourselves, who is in charge of our life? Is it Jesus or is it our own will? And we ultimately answer this question not only at the point of baptism, because at the point of baptism we say, yes, we are going to allow Jesus to be in charge of our life, but we as Christians answer that question every single time We have a question where it's either His will or our will. Every single time that we are in a position where our will conflicts with Christ, we answer the question, who is in charge? Should I go to worship this morning or should I go play golf? I really like golf. So we're in a position. We have to make a choice. Who's in charge? We study the Word of God. We come to understand we're not to forsake His assembly. We choose Christ. If I were in charge, I would do whatever I wanted to do with the time that God has given me. But if Jesus was in charge, how would He have me spend my time? And that's a question we should ask ourselves as Christians. I'm not going to answer it today because He only gave me 2 hours to preach. But think about it. When you're spending your time, is this how Jesus would have me to spend my time? Or am I doing this because I want to do it? That doesn't mean you can't spend your time doing things you like to do. You can't go on vacation. Even Jesus rested. But His continual focus was on His Father's will, not mine be done. If I were in charge, I would spend my money on whatever I want to spend it on. But if Jesus were in charge, how would He have us spend our money? I say our money. I've explained to Karen long ago, it's not our money. It's God's money, and He's just given a little of us to use. But how would we use that money to please God? If I were in charge, I would do whatever I wanted to do with my life. But since Jesus is in charge, I need to spend my life doing what He would have me to do with my life. And so we need to ask the question today, who is in charge of our life? Jesus made it clear that we cannot serve two masters. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, then we want you to have that opportunity today to put Jesus in charge of your life, to confess Him as your Lord, to bow your knee today to Jesus, because the Scriptures tell us that the day is coming when every knee shall bow. So you can submit willingly today and spend eternity in heaven with Him, or you can wait till He comes, and I can assure you, you will submit to Him. So you can choose today to put Jesus in charge of your life. Or if you are a Christian and haven't been allowing Jesus to lead you in everything that you do, to lead you on the path that you are going, and you've strayed from that path, we can help you today to get back on that path. So whatever we can do to help you today, we're going to ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.